I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Susie Perry, and we're in Spain following the fourth race of the season at Jerez. Here's how it was won.
The doctor, Valentino Rossi's dished up something a little bit special down here under the Spanish sun. It was worth so many people travelling trackside. It looks like the biggest crowd I've seen at Jerez in recent years. We had 239,000 people trackside last year over the 3 days. I think there's more of them this year, and a lot of them are Rossi fans and going to be treated to the great man taking yet another win in his illustrious career. The last three right-handers, he's just got the hairpin to manage now. Back down the gearbox to the 45-mile-an-hour turn 13, where we've seen so much action in the past, some of it being provided by this man himself. He's going to wheelie to the finish. Valentino Rossi is king of Spain. He wins in a Jerez in a fantastic style. Jorge Lorenzo, his Yamaha teammate, soon to be going to Ducati, his second. Third series leader, Marc Márquez, comes over the line.
Coming up, the views of James Toseland, Neil Hodgson, Gavin Emmett, and all the protagonists from race day. But first, let's hear from Julian Ryder and Keith Hewan.
So many thoughts we've got on this weekend, really, but I think that crisis management seems to have been the key for me. I must say that all the teams in MotoGP are struggling with aspects revolving around tyres, it would seem.
And the track did go over 40 degrees track temperature today, which we knew would create some problems.
I think the main problem, Jules, is that it didn't stay consistent through the weekend. It got warmer and warmer and warmer. It was always scheduled to get warmer and warmer and
yes.
warmer, and race day was always going to be the hottest day. But in the end, we went from something like 20 degrees track temperature to start the week with, and we've ended up with nearly 40 degrees to end the week with.
Over, I believe, Keith. Well over by the end of that race.
And certainly nobody has been able to put any mileage on the brand new construction Michelin rear tyre that we've got. So ensuing problems came again. And the reason why I say crisis management right up the front of this is because Valentino Rossi and his team are absolutely past masters at reading what's going on when we get to race day. He's always worked on... That's why it's such a surprise when he got pole position. That seems to be just a byproduct almost of the efforts.
I completely agree with you that he's never been a pole position hound, ever, Valentino. Front row, even the second row in years past when things weren't quite so tight. He was delighted. When you picked it up on Friday, you saw a wheeling, smiling Valentino right from free practice number one, and you flagged it up. Hello, something special is going to happen this weekend.
Crisis management. What about maturity? We've seen a lot of that as well, haven't we? Marc Márquez, 23 years old, seems to be showing the maturity of the old hand, Rossi, with that 16 points. Again, any other year...
Fence, straw bales, sandpit, upside down. Where were the rest of the Hondas? How far back was Dani Pedrosa?
Well, if they're worried about it, imagine what Ducati must be feeling like. Because I reckon this was the worst weekend I've seen for a long time from them.
The first Ducati was 26 seconds behind Valentino. Mm. I know Dovi had a problem and had to drop out early, but Iannone, 26 seconds behind. We knew Ducati didn't like this place. We knew they weren't looking forward to it, but that still has to count as a disaster.
Well, of course, one Ducati that didn't have a disaster, they gave him a new clutch and he repaid them massively. Eugene Laverty, a new clutch.
To be strictly accurate, his team will have given him a new clutch, not the factory. He is a customer team, not Satellite or Works.
Now, I wonder how much they are to hang on to him for that long. Gave him a clutch, got the start. He was up there in seventh place. Eugene Laverty, superb weekend for him. And of course, he was supporting the Northern Ireland Iron. I'm saying it almost with a.
You're going for the
Iron
local accent, aren't you?
Indeed. Northern Irish Air Ambulance, which the support from
it's John, nice to see.
Dr. John Hines, of course, who lost his life back in Northern Ireland, marshalling for one of the events out there. And
For the Tandragee, I think.
It was a big campaign that he'd got on for this Air Ambulance. And, of course, it's been very successful. And Eugene wearing the badge, the patch on his leathers this weekend as well. So
added something to the event, did it not?
Big community thing, and I think from all of us, I mean, we wish everybody that's campaigned on behalf of that Air Ambulance very, very well indeed.
Indeed we do. The other thing that shocked me when I did my normal communication with the official statistician, Dr. Martin Raines, whom God preserve, of Yorkshire.
He looks preserved.
He looks well preserved. And that is the first time we saw today, who'd have thought you could see a Valentino Rossi first, this far into his career?
37 years old and still producing something to marvel at.
The first time he's led from flag to flag in a Motor Grand Prix race off pole position. He's never done that before. 37 years old, and you get a first like that.
Mind you, Lorenzo did try to thwart that particular manoeuvre.
I suppose Lorenzo did lead by it for a couple of yards, if we're being pedantic. He led every lap. If you want to really define what was going on, he led every lap off pole.
Do you know what? I mean, we can perhaps use this blog for this. I mean, sometimes people accuse us of being big Rossi fans. Sometimes people accuse us of being Lorenzo fans. Sometimes people accuse us of being Marc Marquez fans with our heads rammed precariously in
where the sun doesn't shine.
Indeed, on either one of those three riders or whoever else we're praising at the time. But you cannot not praise a performance like today from Rossi. Whatever our own allegiances may be, which there are none.
There were none.
Whatsoever. But it was just one of those performances. You just sit back and think, wow.
Praise it. We marvelled at it. How can you not? A man 37 years old. Where does that motivation still come from? Where?
What he's done is he's changed his game this year again. We see this evolution of Valentino Rossi. He obviously has made a huge step forward in qualifying, which gives him the opportunity to win races.
It's not so much... Yes, he has made a huge step forward, but that's thanks to the Michelins. He said yesterday, it's what I grew up with. You don't have to stick your neck out quite so far with the Michelins to get the result as you used to with the Bridgestones. He never liked the 15-minute session. He wanted to work up to things. He liked the order. You'll like this. He said, for qualifying, you should use the softer tyre, and for race, the harder. That's what you do with Michelins.
It's incredible, really, isn't it? So he's actually stuck in his ways to some extent, and they've come back to him rather than the other way around, is
exactly
what you're saying.
Exactly the point. Jerry Burgess said this to me 10 years ago, that even then he was an old dog stuck in his ways. Look at his record on new tracks when they come on the calendar. Terrible.
I'm struggling to actually think it's that extreme, but I've got to say, on evidence, I can't really disagree with you. You know how much I love to.
I don't think I'm exaggerating that much to make my point.
But Michelin do have major problems still. That evolution of that tyre is still a major... Sorry, George, but I'm going to argue with you. You keep on waving your head one way and the other, but the fact of the matter is everybody in pit lane is complaining about the Michelin tyres. You cannot ignore that.
Except Valentino Rossi.
You cannot ignore the other 99% of the paddock. And Valentino Rossi was... You see, it doesn't fit your argument there. Valentino Rossi was complaining about the Michelin tyre on the flag-to-flag the other week. He was complaining about it. He wrote it down. He said it to all the press, but you won't have that in this...
No, I think you also said something earlier in this, that they had no testing on these temperatures at this track. They didn't know where they were going. And what won the race was the experience of people on the bike and in the pit who applied that experience to the problem in front of them.
It suited Valentino Rossi and the setup that he had on the bike. It certainly didn't suit Marc Marquez. That Honda is a nail in comparison with the two M1s.
I think that's the tyres are almost irrelevant when we start talking about the Honda.
You spotted it early on in the race. He was running on everywhere.
Yeah.
He just couldn't pull it down into the apex.
I thought we were in for a repeat of last year of a first two-lap, three-lap hole in the scenery. And we go to Le Mans in 2 weeks where those problems really made themselves felt for the first time last year.
Shall we finish this blog on something that I know you and I won't argue about?
Oh, no.
Sam Lowes. You're not going to argue with that. I know you're not going to argue with that. What a great...
I have never seen him ride better than that, ever.
Brother was here, mum and dad was here, so it's a big family celebration tonight. I mean, he's now won in 2015, he's won in 2016, he's leading the championship by an increased margin. He finished with a massive wheelie. I know Digi Dan will have got that clipped up somewhere on BT Sport. It will look fantastic.
And a big championship lead. None of his contenders, none of his real proper title challengers had a good weekend.
Long may it continue. We have another 14 races left to go in this year, so
right.
It's a long way to go just yet.
I'm going for the heart pills.
Thanks for that. I'm off too. I might need them now.
What a day. I mean, that race really wasn't quite as scintillating as we would have hoped for in some respects in terms of the action, but a good result for the championship because it just closes it down a tiny little bit, doesn't it?
We were talking before the race. We knew that Lorenzo was going to find it a little bit difficult to keep up with Voss's pace all weekend, and did it show? I just didn't think that Rossi was going to be so strong and so consistent and pull that as much of a gap as he did, though.
But yesterday, when we went to the front row conference, he's so confident, and he actually said, "My pace is better than everybody else's." Yeah. I mean, you've got to be confident to come out with that, haven't you? I know he plays mind games, but he meant it yesterday. He knew he'd got it in the bag.
He did mean it, and you can tell by his persona and his body language. As soon as this championship's changed back to Michelin's, it has been advantage Valentino Rossi. And I've got a couple of theories about that. We'll probably maybe save them until later, because I think we're going to be looking at a few replays on them both and comparing them both. But it's really interesting on how it's panning out with these new rules.
Well, clearly he's loving the qualifying, the Michelin time for qualifying. But also the electronics, they seem to be playing into hand. There's a lot of wheel spinning going up out there, and obviously some of the riders haven't quite got the right combination yet.
There is. And last year, Bridgestone brought out a new rear tyre, and it had a stiffer construction on it. And there wasn't as much edge grip right on the full lean. And that's where Lorenzo has an advantage on Valentino Rossi with his corner speed. And when this harder construction Bridgestone came in, he couldn't do that. He couldn't have that faster corner speed in the middle because it didn't have the grip. Because with a harder construction, the tyre doesn't flex as much right on the side of the tyre. The last couple of weeks, Michelin have had to put a stiffer construction into these tyres for safety reasons because of the breakups that we saw with Scott Redding in Argentina. So with a stiffer construction, without the tyre moving as much, with not as much feel, it's not allowing Lorenzo to have as much of the corner speed, and it's working better for Rossi's style as it did on the Bridgestone.
And it was good today that they had these hot temperatures, because Michelin, they had predicted this, and if it had been like yesterday, might have had a few more problems with the tyres, because they needed that heat really, didn't they? Because they've got that hard construction.
They did. It was a little bit unknown because it was 10 degrees hotter than any other day that they've been here, Friday, Saturday. 18 crashes with the Dunlop boys, you know, with Moto 3 and Moto 2. But, you know, fair play to Michelin. They have brought this stiffer construction on the tyre. It's actually, there was only one crash actually in MotoGP compared to Moto 3 and Moto 2. So, you know, fair play to them.
Okay, well, we've got an interview now with Jorge Lorenzo. I don't hear anything out here. Have we got Jorge?
Yeah, we do, up here behind the Parc Fermé. And the first thing I want to say is how I saw you get off the bike and you looked at the rear tyre, your arms went up. What kind of problems, what kind of feedback was that tyre not giving you that you need?
You know, as a rider, I made a lot of races in MotoGP, and sometimes you got problems when you pick up the bike in the exit of the corners, in second, third gear. But to be honest, having problems of spinning when you are completely straight in third, fourth, fifth, sixth gear, it's never happened to me, and I was, to be honest, a little bit scared because this spinning increased every lap. So in the last laps, I just went 70%, 80% of throttle on the straight because I was scared that something got wrong, no? And was very uncomfortable situation. I was lucky that Mark was very on the back with a lot of distance. If not, I could lose even the second place. It's a pity because when I started recovering recovering meters with Rossi, start happening, start dropping the rear tire on the straight very very fast, no? And I had to slow down to finish the race and don't crash.
What about Le Mans then? That's next up. What do you think it's going to be like there? It's a track again, like here, that seems to go well for Yamaha, and it should be lower temperatures.
Well, to be honest, now the main problems are the tyres. No, in the pre-season was the front. Now Michelin works a lot on the front, improved the front. But after the problems of Bath and Reading, and this change of compound of the tyre, now the problems went to the rear tyre. No, and now Michelin have to use this experience to improve the rear tyre and make our life more easy, no?
I think we call today damage limitation, Jorge. Well done. Bring it home in second place. 20 points. That's the main thing.
For the championship is good. Good,
yeah, it is. Congratulations. Well done, Jorge.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you can see the disappointment. He really wanted to win in front of his home crowd, didn't he? And obviously for the championship as well. But that would have meant a lot to him today. And also, you can see that he's looking forward to how they're going to resolve these problems. All right, the doctor is with our doctor.
So, Valentino, congratulations. First win of the season. I was trying to remember, I don't know if you can remember, the last time that you got pole, fastest lap, and led every lap, didn't have to make an overtaking manoeuvre in the race. Can you remember?
No.
Exactly, because it's,
maybe
it's,
never.
No, so many times in your career, you've had to pass time, someone.
Yeah. How is the name in Formula One? They say at trick. Is possible?
It's the gentleman set, we call it.
Okay. So the perfect weekend, you know. I feel good from Friday. We work very well. I have to say a great thank you to all my team, to all the Yamaha Movistar team, and especially to my crew, because the bike was fantastic. And on the grid, my mechanic Bryant said to me, first from the first to the last corner, and he said, maybe it's a good idea. And in effect, it's not so bad. Great start, good rhythm. I had a small advantage every lap, so like this is like godimento in italiano si dice.
But is it harder like that, leading from the front, not having to get involved in your battle? Because I think I remember one in the past where you say, they're the toughest races, they're the hardest races.
Depends very much how much voglia to win, how much you want to win.
Desire.
Desire, yes. Today the desire was very high because my last victory was last year in Silverstone. So after Silverstone, Marquez win, Lorenzo win, Pedrosa win, me no. So today was my turn. And it's like when I go to run, no? And you have to do 20 laps.
I'm not very familiar with this kind of thing, Valentino.
You go, and in your mind is always one lap too much. You see, but at the end, arrive.
Lots of people seem to struggle with these tyres, the new versions that Michelin have brought, especially with the temperatures coming up. So what is it you're making work, and will it also work when we get to Le Mans?
We work very well from Friday. We start from a good base setting, and sincerely, with this tyre, in this track, I feel familiar, you know? It's like something that you're growing up with, you know? So you have this feeling to enter in the corner, to acceleration like this. And when you understand in the race that you had that 2 or 3 tenths of advantage, you say, today we can have fun.
Maybe channeling 2005, the last time you were on Poway. Hey, we should have known, with all those wheelies you've been pulling all weekend down the back straight. Brilliant one across the finish line. Congratulations, Valentino. Thanks. An absolutely superb performance.
Thanks a lot. Like you said, brilliant.
Is he doing a northern accent? He couldn't shut him up, could he? It's like a bottle of pop. I reckon he was on the blower to the phone when Michelin got this contract, don't you? So I would like my tyre like this, like this, and like this.
I didn't know he was from Delhi.
It's from Wolverhampton. It's twinned with Tabulia.
You'd be talking like that, though, if you got 87 wins in MotoGP. I mean, it is his record. Not round here, particularly. But like I said, it's all in the back of his mind, isn't it? I didn't win till last since Silverstone and blah, blah,
listen,
blah.
Make really no mistake, him. He clowns around sometimes, but that is probably the most intelligent man in this paddock. I mean, you don't get to where he's got to in terms of business by being thick. What? Wrestling company accepted. Okay. Let's catch up with Marc Márquez.
Marc, looked like a difficult day there to try and keep up with the two Yamahas. Similar last year as well at this race. What is it about Jerez? I know you won here in the past, but what has it been in the last couple of years?
Yeah, today was a really difficult day for me. It looks like with more temperature, we struggle a lot, especially with my riding style. I need to push a lot in the brake points. And the soft tire was, front tire, sorry, was pretty soft. And in the beginning, I was able to keep the rhythm, but then I saw that I nearly crashed 1, 2, 3 times. And I say, remember, experience last year, 16 points. Today is the time to finish third. And it was difficult to choose this decision because, you know, in front of our fans. But anyway, it was the best result for today.
Yeah, I remember when we started the season in Qatar, it was a pretty similar kind of thing where you're having a few problems. Then we've seen the last two races where you've been so successful. Do you think it's going to be like this throughout the year? Some tracks it works, some tracks it doesn't. Or is it uniquely temperatures?
Yeah, if I want to have some chance this championship, I need to manage the situations. I need to try to be smart, try to understand when we cannot win. It looks like both Yamaha riders are really, really strong. We take profit of Argentina and Austin, but we must improve a lot if we want to fight with both of them, because it looks like they are really fast. But anyway, today, was many things together. The temperature plus the asphalt plus that this circuit also for my riding style is not one of the best ones. But anyway, happy with the final result.
And it looked like, out of the last corner in particular, your acceleration, that's where we've talked about the Honda having the issue. So we go to Le Mans next. So stop and start there. What are you expecting?
We will see. We are losing a lot on the acceleration, and then we need to brake too late. But anyway, we will try to manage. We will try to do our best. And if in Le Mans we must finish third, we will try to finish third again. But anyway, I think there maybe can be slightly better.
Let's hope so, because we could have a great battle. Hey, congratulations. Still leading the championship. Well done, Mark.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bye.
Clearly a lot of confidence in still leading the championship. But the race result for today, Valentino Rossi, your race winner. Jorge Lorenzo is second. Marc Marquez came third. Dani Pedrosa just off the podium today. Aleix Espargaró, a brilliant fifth place for him, ahead of Maverick Viñales, his teammate. Andrea Iannone was seventh. Paul Espargaró, eighth. Eugene Laverty, another top 10 finish. And Hector Barbera closes out that top 10. We're going to be doing a little bit of Moto 2 next. We are hunting down this man, Sam Lowes, the winner today.
Last lap, the Baldessari has gone down. But it's all about Sam Lowes of Great Britain. Sam Lowes will take his first win of the year. Wait for the wheelie. It's going to be surely on end. He's a quality rider when it comes to finishing this way. Sam Lowes is a fantastic winner of the Moto 2 Spanish Grand Prix.
So a really good race for Sam Lowes, leaving the standings looking very much like this. That 1 point now has stretched to 10 points over Alex Rins. Johan Zarco, a bit of damage limitation for him today. Not a great race in third place. Thomas Luthi fourth. Jonas Folger is fifth. Domi Egerter sixth. Louis Salom seventh. And then Franco Morbidelli rounding out that top 10. And without further ado, let us speak to the hero. The Queen's birthday, and you've got the old national anthem going. No, seriously, congratulations today. You must feel absolutely on top of the world.
Yeah, no, it's been a good weekend. I knew that we had really good pace coming in from the testing here. The last two races finishing second, and, you know, these are the weekends you have to win if you want to fight for the championship. I was stronger than the other guys, and I made it happen, so it's a little bit like pressure off.
Yeah. So we talked about that earlier, didn't we? You felt like he was under a lot of pressure to get a win.
Yeah, I mean, there's always that.
You were worried about it.
Yeah, I'm always worried about Sam, you know, and especially after that small crash. I don't know, 100 mile an hour crash in the morning warm-up. But what people don't see is what I've seen when I've been here in pre-season testing. You've done so many race runs. You were probably the only rider that uses that, like a hard race tyre, the old tyre, all the time. Do you think that helps you when it got slippy? Because we saw the track got slippy.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I got to the front of the race and I was riding around on my own, but I felt like I'd done that already in February. You know, I'd done two race runs, I felt quite relaxed. And it's important because, you know, when I won last year in Austin, it was, you know, last three laps I passed Zarco and pushed hard. And three laps is quite easy to keep your concentration. But today I led for 20, 24 laps and it was, it's a great feeling. And I think it was something that I can use to go forward now. You know, leading all them laps, winning the race like that is something that can really... I use in the next few races.
And did you feel anxious? Because it just went on and on for us watching it. I saw your mother, she was struggling. What was it like on the bike?
Were you
pretty cool?
Yeah, no, I felt good. You know, I felt like I could control it a little bit in the middle of the race. And I've done that much work on used tyres. I actually felt at the end of the race I had a bit in my pocket and actually this one was good. But, you know, it's never normally like that. But I'm really positive for today.
I've also heard you've renamed your bike, is that right?
Yeah, well, I gave it a little kiss on doing a wheelie, and I had a bit of a childhood crush on Susan when I was younger. So
here we go.
Embarrass her on
here
the telly.
We go. So you've renamed, you're going to have Susie on the back of the bike, aren't you?
Yeah, I will do for the next one.
Here it is.
Oh, look.
That's not a bad wheelie, that, Sam.
No tongs.
What about Le Mans, though? It's such a different track.
That's the best kiss I've had all day, let me tell you. Le Mans next, obviously, Sam.
Yeah, Le Mans, I've only ever rode down a Moto2 bike, and the last 2 years, last year I finished quite a close fourth. and for how things were going last year, it was really positive. So I think that we can go there with this bike and this team and coming off a win, and there's no reason not to be positive. You know, I qualified second and finished fourth and love the track. So hopefully we can take the momentum from the last few races and really kick on now. It's important in the European season to get the momentum.
Yeah, because you've got some really incredible competition, haven't you, in the Clash Arena. A couple of tweets, a couple of questions, if you don't mind answering. Paul Goodyear would like to know, will your abrupt gear clutch cornering technique be an issue with the MotoGP seamless gearbox next year? Just to scramble your head a little bit done this season.
Actually, I'm going to be testing the bike at the end of June, so I'll know a little bit more then. But for me, when I rode in Supersport, I had a different style because of electronics. And I think, you know, for me, you ride the bike the best that you can, depending on the bike. And obviously, I'll have to change my style a little bit, but I think it won't be a big problem.
But you need to concentrate race by race, don't you? We're biased or anything. Ian Daniels would like to know, do you think there's any chance of a World Superbike rider coming up and filling a GP seat next season?
For me, for next year, I'm not too sure. It's going to be, there's a few more rides on the grid with KTM and maybe another slot going, I think. And, you know, obviously I'm going to be biased and say, like, obviously my brother's in World Superbike. If he can have a good end to the year or next couple of years, you know, one day he could be in Grand Prix. But for me, coming from that paddock, I know the level in World Superbike. There's some riders there that could do really well here. And but we'll have to just wait and see.
Sam, it's been a fantastic weekend for you, and we wish you all the best, and we'll catch up with you again in Le Mans.
Perfect, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Fancy a bit of Moto3 now? Yeah, here are the highlights.
Oh, on the back straight down to turn six. This is the last lap. Remember, here's a bit of pushing, and Shamit Bulega gets underneath them. He knew where to do it. He knew when to do it. Bulega goes up into second place. Three abreast it is, and Navarro takes advantage, forces his way through, and Bulega goes back into fourth place now. This is turn 13. We have time to look at it. Bulega does force his way through. Who is going to stay on the bike? Is he going to get the drive? Now it's the drive up the hill. It's who has made the best job of it out of turn 13. Binder wins his first ever Grand Prix here in Moto3. Bulega gets second place. The South African wins one at last.
And
Brad Binder
extends his championship lead considerably.
The race of the day, leaving Moto3 World Championship looking like this. Brad Binder leading the way, then Navarro, Fanati, Bulega in fourth place, 16 years old. We've changing the pronunciation, we'll talk about that in a minute. Bagnaia, Antonelli, Bastianini and Cornfile, Powie and Ertl in 10th position. We wanted to catch up with this man, ninth today, Eugene Laverty, and what a well-deserved ninth that was. It looked like it was hard work, but you really deserve it.
Yeah, that was a proper result. Really enjoyed that. I made a good start and I was inside the top 10 right from the off, and that makes things a lot easier. But I was surprised when I saw the gap in the pit board going up, so that was nice to be riding away from guys that I'm usually chasing down.
Yeah.
I noticed when you were talking to Neil after the race, you said you'd had a bit of an upgrade on a clutch. What was that? Can you tell us? Or
just a fresh one. Simply a fresh one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Had a fresh one all year?
No, and I've been trying to adjust my starting technique, and it felt like a switch before, and I was trying to get this slowest release in the world with my two fingers, trying to let the clutch out as softly as I could, but then as soon as I got a fresh clutch, I realised, what a difference a fresh clutch makes.
Everybody's been talking that the Satellite Ducati has had a bit of an advantage at the beginning of this season, because they've been running the standard ECU across the board for the last 2 years. Do you know roughly how much of an advantage you've been having yourself? It's your first year on, isn't it, obviously, so...
Yeah, for me, it's not a big advantage. I think guys like Hector, it's good for him. He's really strong, as you can see, all through practice, because he was riding this bike last year with a similar electronic system. So, yeah, for him, I think it's a benefit. But for guys like me, Lawrence, Baz, it hasn't been much of a difference.
Yeah, you can see yourself here. I know you chose a soft front tyre. You said he was struggling maybe a little bit on the left. How was it towards the end of the race?
I was surprised, actually. It was the left, both of the front and the rear tyre. You'd expect the right run here, we're going to hammer him. But the left side, maybe it was running a bit cool towards the end. It didn't feel good, so I had to be a little bit careful with it. But in general, I think I made the right choice tyre-wise.
You're still ninth in the championship?
Yeah, that's nice to be in that
position. It's not a one-off then, is it? Yeah. Do you think you can keep this kind of consistency going with your package?
That's our aim. We've got to be stronger and in qualifying, that's for sure, to make our job easier. I made a hell of a start, and that's why we're up in there, but we need to be qualifying and not top 10 if we're going to be there.
All the best.
Can you just talk to us about the feel of those tyres? Because clearly there's a big issue going on up and down the paddock here. Some riders are liking them and getting on with them, and some are having a lot of wheel spin and a problem, you know, with the level and with the ECU combo as well. I mean, obviously, you're a little bit more sorted in that department, but do you feel as though you have many problems with them?
Each track is a different problem, let's say. Argentina... everyone had a problem there. It was difficult. Austin was pretty good, but in Austin, the right side of the tyre felt bad. Left felt good, and then suddenly you went to a right tyre, and you saw what happened to Valentino. He was down before he knew it. So here's been pretty good, but even towards the end of the race, I thought my clutch was slipping because in a straight line, the centre of the tyre started spinning. So there's all these things that are going on, and it plays with your mind a little bit, but the important thing is to get it to the checkered flag.
Yeah, a lot of bike management going on, but you did it very well today and got yourself a fantastic ninth place and right there in the top 10 in the championship. Good luck in Le Mans in 2 weeks' time. We'll be
Thank
keeping a close eye on you. Thanks very much, you too. A couple of places behind Eugene was Cal Crutchlow.
Cal, I know you're never going to be happy with a position like that, but you brought home points for the first time this season. But it's been a tough week for everyone, fighting with those tyres here this weekend. What was it like, full race distance, extra temperature?
About what it looked, disaster, but I finished the race, so tonight we're going to Jerez and having a massive party. If anybody wants to come and join us, we'll be there. You can come, Gav.
For once, I get the invite.
Don't bring Neil. No, honestly, we really believe we have a rear tyre problem because I had a great pace in the morning, warm up with race distance on the tyres. I rode a lot smoother in the race. But was not going anywhere, so honestly, the last 10 laps, I thought it was going to delaminate. But we're not too sure why. We just know that there was a lot of vibration from the tyre, and it was not going anywhere in the straight. And we were having to change to sixth gear in the straight, where normally we would keep fifth, just to try and stop the spin in a complete straight line. So no excuses. We have what we have, and I rode and I finished 11th. But I finished the race. I did a weekend without being on the floor. It's nice, give the body a rest for a weekend. But yeah, obviously I'm not happy at all. Riding around with people I shouldn't be riding around with, to be honest. No disrespect to them at all. Before the race, the plan was to battle with Danny, and I thought we could, honestly. I had absolutely no doubt in my mind that I could be battling with Danny today. But they rode good races, I think. Everybody settled. If you look at all the Hondas, the lap time drops a lot. For one reason or another, I don't know, with 10 laps to go, they were... especially Mark also, he wasn't able to keep the pace. But, you know, as I've always said, Honda are working hard. We have to just give them information, go away from here. At least we got a race distance under our belt. It was a useless race distance for me. But in the end, they got some data.
Cheers, Cal. Good luck for the test as well. Cheers, and we'll see you in the morning.
Cheers, thanks, mate. Might not see me for the test. I might be still out.
Sounds like it's going to be a good night if you go out with Cal Crutchlow tonight. He's going to be in trouble with Neil Hodgson, though. This is how the championship looks, and Marc Márquez still leading. The gap has closed slightly. Jorge Lorenzo second, and Valentino Rossi is in third place. Danny Pedrosa fourth, and Pol Espargaró in fifth place. So, all that hard work, and actually it's only closed down a tiny little bit, hasn't it? It's going to be a long season, but an exciting one to watch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Valentino Rossi pulling 9 points back on the championship leader, amazing.
Yeah, that is true. That is true for him. And you're not going to Cal's party tonight?
No, I'm going out with the Laverties. He was in the top 10.
I've got a feeling that this is all going to kick off next time out, when, of course, we'll be in Le Mans. OK, that's it from Spain. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time from France for the fifth round of the season at Le Mans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.